Hello and welcome to episode 33 of It's Black and White, the Derby Telegraph's Derby County podcast. And after what feels like an age, we are back. We've decided to put our differences aside for about 45 minutes. And I'm joined by Steve Nicholson and Chris Watson. Chaps, it's good to be back.
Hello.
Yeah,
it's good
to
be back, yeah.
Steve's finally signed his new contract.
Yeah,
he's finally signed his new contract.
You've decided to come back from a long holiday.
I haven't had a holiday.
No.
You've decided to come back from sorting out your Christmas lights and
Christmas lights presents. Up, yeah. So I came back to the Christmas sweets.
Yep.
Those that were left for me.
Chris the hero that he is,
Chris bought a tub of heroes.
Is that product placement? I think we have to say.
Other chocolates are available, of course.
These are Cadbury's heroes.
Yeah.
Which are very, very nice.
Yeah.
Although there were very few left by the time I came into there.
We can't all take 3 days off in the week like you, Steve, so...
That wasn't an advert, by the way, was it?
No. That was just general nonsense chat because we've sort of lost our way about what we do at the start of a podcast now it's been that long. Okay, well, let's just sort of have a brief look back at the season so far then. So, Derby County fourth after 21 games. I mean, if somebody would have offered you that at the start of the season, you'd have taken it, wouldn't you?
Yes, I mean... We have to remember that the amount of change that took place at Derby from the end of last season, Gary Rowett leaving, new manager in Frank Lampard, new players coming in, 9 new signings, kind of reshaped the team and the squad. This thing about lowering the average age, which I think has been massively important. Sheffield Wednesday recently, the average age was just under 26 and it had been touching 30 at the end of last season. That was a big part of Frank Lampard's plan, and I think that's worked.
And that's still with players like Scott Carson and Tom Huddleston.
You've got to have that kind of balance, but I think the energy of the side is showing and the pace within the side highlights what needed to be done. And also, of course, this is kind of implementing a new way or new style of playing, you know, because it is a different Derby are playing a different way to they did under Gary Rowett. So all these things had to fall into place, and to be where they are at this stage, I think, means they're falling into place pretty quickly.
Because I think when the manager was appointed, that it was a bit of a step into the unknown. It was his first job in management. I think the expectations kind of lowered a little bit, really, because. You know, there was talk of what kind of budget was he going to have to work with. Obviously, they had to sort of move players out as well. So no one quite knew, you know, how quickly things were going to settle, and whether they were going to be able to mount a promotion challenge. And I think the fact that they're fourth is obviously good. And what's also good is they're in touching distance of the top two as well at this stage. So I mean, if there was a like Wolves, for example, last year. Without looking at what the league table was at this stage, but obviously, as we know, they sort of were clear front runners in the end. So, but at the moment, it's looking like it's really up for grabs. So, I think they're well placed.
Yeah. I think the unknown bits, as I say, that was the exciting bit about Frank Lampard coming in, because no one actually knew how he would take to it. They didn't know what kind of signings he would make, what kind of team his would be. But what I sense from him very early, in fact, from the first moment I met him ahead of the press conference when he was unveiled as manager, we spent half an hour together doing an interview. I noticed straight away that there was a real determination to be a success, and even though there was a lot of things that had to fall into place to take Derby to where they are at this present time, I also sense this thing about he wants to be there. You know, make no mistake, he's ambitious, and as he always says, you know, the fourth in the table, but he always wants more. And that's what's driving Derby on at the moment, this work ethic, this thing about we want more. Okay, we've won that game, but we want more, we want to be better. And I sense that from very, very early on. So in some ways, when you balance that against the kind of uncertainty of whether things would work or not, and put the two together, were they on the table at the moment, I think, getting to know Frank Lampard and how he works and this ambition within him to be a success, that's maybe not a surprise.
Well, while we're on the subject of Frank Lampard, obviously, as we've said, it was his first job in management. I mean, take away the sort of Derby County aspect of the table, how do you think that he's done? How do you think that he's dealing with becoming a football manager?
Well, he's had one or two moments, but that's natural in management. Yeah, there's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of pressure. Pressure that makes you wander from your technical area, 20 yards down the touchline.
You do that at your desk,
don't
you?
I do that at my desk all the time. Fortunately, I don't get shown the yellow card or the red card or whatever. But those moments are going to happen, He's a winner. Virtually all of his career, he's been a winner. And when that's ingrained in you, that it's hard to get rid of that, But I think he's handled virtually all of it really, really well. I do. It's not easy fielding questions that he has to field, especially after defeats, because again, you can sense in some of his interviews after defeats how much it's hurt him. And often as a player, you can duck out the way of that interview if you want, and it might not be you up for an interview. But as a manager, he has to front up after every game. And I say that's not easy. And then talking about January transfer windows and what targets he's got and who could be moving out and why is George still not in the team, why is Butterfield not, and where's Anya and all this type of stuff. He has to deal with all that, and it takes getting used to it. But I think in general, I think he's handled it really well.
Chris, you've been impressed with what you've seen of him?
Yeah, I think what Steve said really, and I think the fans have taken to it as well, because I think they can see that how much it means to him. And so if he's a bit short in a post-match interview or something, they see that almost as a good thing, because they'll say, well, you can see how much it means to him that he wants to win the game. And But I mean, he answers all the questions fully, doesn't he? He doesn't sort of shy away from anything, and he seems to have built a good rapport with the fans, and I think they've been good to him as well in terms of giving a bit of leeway in that they're not going to win every game. I mean, his first home game, they lost 4-1 to Leeds.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not a good result, but they've shown time and again that they've managed, they're able to kind of come back from that, and so there will be kind of bumps in the road, but they're also managing to win games as well, which is good.
It's interesting that you say about the fans, because I think at this stage last season they were maybe one point better off than they are now, and yet around the club at the minute there seems to be a much better sort of feel good factor, if you like,
worse off. And I think you can look at the stats and how many points and stuff, but a lot of that just comes from watching the games
and how they're
playing, and the fans have really bought into the style of play that he's employed,
and the players have as well.
Absolutely, they have to, don't they? But and I think we're not getting carried away. It's not Manchester City or whatever, but we've seen some very good performances, and we've seen some very good spells during games. Obviously, the key is to try and get those, get that on a consistent basis for 90 minutes, but I think people can see what's there, the potential that's there, and the fact that they can, there's still more to come. I think, going forward, attacking wise, there've been some exciting moments, and it's getting that balance between attack and defence. And we were talking, obviously, a lot about no clean sheets until they in how many games was it?
15
games. Yeah. First clean sheet in 15 games at Wigan last weekend. But it's about finding that balance, isn't it? And I know Frank Lampard said, he's not too bothered about clean sheets as long as they win the game. But obviously, in a game that's at Wigan it was 1-0, so obviously the clean sheet
was
in
vital.
A game like that, the clean sheet is vital, because if you don't keep a clean sheet, you don't win the game.
That's the other thing. They haven't been, shipping bucket loads of goals. They beat Birmingham 3-1, they beat Swansea 2-1.
It's tending to be one or two.
I know
goals.
There have been some exceptions. Yeah. Villa at home, Leeds at home, as you said.
Yeah, but the bottom line will be at the end of the season that probably the two sides with the best defensive records will go up, because that's just how football is, and teams that win things have really good defensive records. Derby's isn't bad by any means, but one or two more clean sheets sprinkled in along the way will be really nice. I think the thing about the fans understanding, I think this thing about the being a younger side helps, because fans have more understanding with younger players, because they can see potential, they can see the energy, that there's no baggage with these players. And I think last season, I think that's what got in the way a little bit, because it was a very experienced side, and suddenly fans say, oh, come on, you're experienced players, you should be performing better than this. You should be able to handle the pressure better than this. With this group, it's a bit, They've seen Harry Wilson deliver moments of magic and Mason Mount. And there'll be games when they don't do that, because that's natural for young players. And that's why, if you look at the season, you get the kind of the slowish start, then they picked up, then they hit a bad spell, then they had a good spell again. That will happen, you know, because the team's younger. But I think with fans, I think they tend to give younger players or younger teams more leeway, because they can see what they're trying to do and they can see a plan. Too often with Derby in recent years, there doesn't seem to have been a plan as far as building and building and building. It seems to be, got to do it now, got to do it this season, got to do it next week. You know what I mean? And if not, manager changes or the team changes or whatever. With this one, I think the fans are saying, well, it'd be great if we can do it this season, and we're in with a shout at the moment. But if it doesn't happen, we can see what Frank Lampard's trying to do.
I
think that's brought the understanding as well.
Absolutely. Right then, let's move on to the weekend game. Well, not actually the weekend game, which is the first.
Can we have a rant point about that first?
Well, I will let you take it away in just a short second. Obviously, Derby County against Nottingham Forest. First East Midlands derby of the season. Frank Lampard's first taste of an East Midlands derby. Many Derby County players' first taste of an East Midlands derby. But as I say, first of all, it has been moved to the Monday night for television coverage. Steve?
Well, I mean, again, I've said it many times, it's a nonsense, isn't it? It's an absolute nonsense. Shouldn't be playing this fixture on a Monday night. You've got Saturday lunchtime, you've got Saturday afternoon, you've got Sunday lunchtime, which we've had
last season.
You know, you've got three goes there. Why can't you fit it into one of those? Why have we got to go to Monday night? Not for me. Again, nonsense. But unfortunately, fixtures get moved about, as we've seen with the recent FA Cup draw. Fortunately, Derby's against Southampton is on a Saturday, but so many have been moved about for, I understand, overseas cover, TV coverage, or whatever it is. I just find the whole thing a nonsense. So, but anyway, I'm not.
Well, the fans, I think this will probably be the first time that I'll say this, but the fans were actually in agreement with you over that point.
Very good, that, Jimmy.
I've been working on that since the last podcast. And I think even like the police had sort of a little cheeky dig on Twitter, didn't they, about
taking the sky off their Christmas cards.
Yeah, that was it, yeah. But as we always say, it is what it is, so it is Monday night. And you know, both teams go into the game going very well in the table.
Very well, yeah. It's interesting. Forest, we've just been looking at our stats. They've lost only three league games. One of those was their last game against Preston, so you know that's a really good record. Got a goal scorer in hot form, in Lewis Graben, scoring for fun at the moment. And there's a feeling that this Forest team is probably the best Derby have faced for maybe a number of seasons. And so that all adds up very nicely. Derby, though, they're at home, you know, and there's no reason why they shouldn't feel confident against any team at home. It's going to be fascinating. I think an interesting point is what you mentioned there about it's Frank Lampard's first taste of this game, but the 11 I will put out there, which will be unchanged to the 11 that won at Wigan, if that's the case, I think six of them are going to taste this fixture for the first time, and that's a lot. And
in some ways, though, could that help? Well, because they might not get caught up in the emotion.
Yeah, it can go two ways. Yeah. Very much. There could be no baggage with it. There could be no, you know, kind of in-depth feeling about what it's about. But on the flip side, you know, it could get caught up in it as well, and that's where I think you'll need your experienced heads in Carson, Keogh, Huddleston, Bryson. Bryce has played, I think I worked out, 11 times against Forest. I think that's probably more than any Derby player in the current side. So I think having those players about before the game, in the build-up to the game, during the game, in the moments in the game when things aren't quite going right and the heat's turned up and all that type of thing, they'll be important. So yeah, it's adding up really to what should be, hopefully, a good game.
Yeah, I mean, Chris, it's obviously been a while since both were competing at the top end and sort of came head to head. Does that add an extra edge to it, do you think, or is there always just going to be
edge? It does, because obviously in the past there's been times where they've met and the only thing they've really had to play for has been
pride.
pride and bragging rights. And of course, that is a big thing to everyone, you know, who lives around here and supports either Derby or Forest. But I think when, you know, if they're both looking like genuine promotion contenders, which at the moment you'd have to say they do, it's got to add an extra dimension. Because if Derby win this game, they go 6 points ahead of Forest going into that Christmas period, which will give them a massive boost when you consider that before the last round of matches, Forest were actually ahead of Derby on goal difference. So there is that to contend with. And I think, you know, I'm trying desperately not to spout the cliche of form goes out the window during these matches.
East Midlands Derby bingo we're going to play.
But the fact that we have seen in recent years, you know, we've seen very out of form Forest sides beat Derby and vice versa. So it will be very interesting when you've got, and I know Forest lost last time out, but when you've got two sides that should be relatively full of confidence going up against each other, I think it should be fascinating. And to play devil's advocate, I do agree with Steve about the whole rescheduling thing, and I think it is unfair. It is unfair on supporters who might have made plans and had their plans messed up. But I think it should be a, you know, under lights, it should be a cracking atmosphere. We don't see that too often.
It'll be colder.
Be colder.
You've got a new coat though.
Steve got a new coat, have his layers on.
Yeah.
So it will be cold.
You sorted with that.
But yeah, no, I think it all shapes up to it's looking like a cracking game. So 0-0 draw then, yeah.
Yeah. have either of you seen much of Forest this season? Oh, no, obviously nobody's seen them live.
No, no.
Have you seen anything of them?
Only the clips you see on TV and that type of thing. And obviously you read the stuff from our sister paper over there in Nottingham. And quite clearly, I'm not surprised. Listen, Karanka is a good manager. Mm. He knows this division. He's been successful in this division. That's a big plus for them. Mm. And I think when you've got someone scoring goals like Grabham, you've always got a chance. We've seen that, of course, with Jack Marriott and Harry Wilson at the moment.
Yeah.
Why you got someone like him, Jack Marriott, about, and we saw it at Wigan, you know, where Derby, they played well first half, but didn't second half, but he's the man who popped up with a goal, and he's done that so often recently. When you've got those types of players in your team, you've always got a great chance.
You know,
always.
You need to just create one opportunity.
Always got a great chance. And again, it comes back to this clean sheet thing. If you can keep a clean sheet, again, you know you've got a great chance of winning the game because you've got these individuals like Graben, like Marius or Wilson to pop up and get you that goal. So yeah, they're obviously quite clearly in good shape. Mm. In good shape. Whether it makes any difference on the night, we don't know, because it will be about on the night, and that's what these games are about. Mm.
It's interesting because you know, we as you say, we speak to our counterparts over in Nottingham about how things are getting on, and Paul Taylor was good enough to do a piece for our website about it, and of course, yes, he mentions Graben as a key man, but also mentioned people like Joe Lolley, who's you know, sounds like he's in the form of his life, and Carvalho have got 6 assists each this season. And no one in the Championship has got more, and so it's obviously there's obviously goals in that team, and that's one of the things that Derby will have to look at. But of course, Derby will say, "Well, we've got our own attacking threat. Marriott's in great form. The likes of Wilson, Mount in there as well." So yeah, as I say,
they're clearly a threat away from home as well. That, if you look at the results, we've got it down here.
They scored 5 at Aston Villa.
But to score 5 anywhere away from home, you know, means you've got a threat. I think they've lost 1 in 10 in the league on the road. I mean, that's impressive. You know, that deserves credit, and it's something Derby have got to be aware of, because of course, Derby at home, they'll be expected to
come out. Yeah,
pace.
Of course.
So, but in many ways, as Derby find themselves when they're away from home, that invites you to be able to stamp your authority on the game as well. So, that's just something to be aware of.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, what do you think Derby would have to do in order to come out with 3 points from this game? But is it a case of keeping Graben and Lolley quiet on the night? And then you think if they do that, then they'll be able to
it's always the same in any match. You've got to just get the balance right. That's the key. Get the balance right. If you defend well enough, keep your defensive shape even when you're with the ball. That's important because that's what you find more in the modern game than I've known before, is that teams tend not to keep a defensive shape when they're in possession. It just tends to get a bit loose, and that's why you see so many counter-attacks now and get caught. Yeah, you know, it's like when you have you've got a corner or a free kick. How many times do you see the opposition break and you think, how can that happen?
Well, Derby scored directly from Brentford's corner.
So I think it's important Derby keep the defensive shape when they're in possession. And again, if you do that and you defend well enough, you're then saying to your attacking players, your match winners, go and do what you do. And then it's over to Jack Marriott and Wilson, Tom Lawrence, who we might talk about in a minute, him as well.
Well, you can talk about him. I haven't got him on the list, okay, but you can talk about him.
I mean, you know, for me, this game's set up for Tom Lawrence. Now, that might sound a bit daft because I think a number of fans probably wouldn't select him for this game because of the form he's in.
But you say that because of the form he's in, but we're looking at the Wigan game. Okay, yes. He didn't have a good game, but before that?
Yeah, well, I said in my match report for the Swansea game, I thought second half he was good.
He hasn't scored as many as he did earlier in the season. I mean, he scored that brilliant goal at West Brom, but that aside, all of his goals came.
Well, this is the thing for me about Tom. He had a good second half against Swansea, so the obvious next step would be take that on into the Wigan game, and his performance went backwards. So, but that's where he's at the moment. He doesn't seem to be able to put that run of games together where he plays well. I think he's got ability. He's got far more ability, and he's got far more ability to make a bigger impact on games than he's showing at the moment. That's why I would keep him in, and I can see he's more than capable in this type of game of doing something that makes an impact.
And I think that's why fans get frustrated, because they know that it's in there.
That's true. Now, you know, maybe it's to do with Harry Wilson suddenly taking the limelight, or Jack Marriott's taking the limelight, or Mason Mount early in this season. Maybe that's to do with it. Having said that, Tom Lawrence was the man in the first few games of the season. But he just drifts a bit too much for me in games. He then seems to get a bit frustrated, and he does touchy things with the opposition. He gives away daft fouls and gets involved in things he shouldn't get involved in, and this all takes away from what he's good at, is being a threat. If I was in charge, if I was the manager of him, I would say, look, you know, when you get the ball, be positive. Don't be cutting and checking this and all that. Be positive, because when he is positive, he's a threat. You know, when he gets the ball out of his feet, I keep saying this, hit it, because that gets the crowd on the feet anyway.
Running at defenders as well, they don't like it.
Just be positive. Maybe it's a confidence thing, I don't know. I mean, I've not spoken to him enough to know whether that's what it is. But he's got ability, the lad's got ability, and that's why I'd leave him in. You could be easy bring in Waghorn on the right, on one of the wide players, and move Wilson across. You could bring in Joseph, you could bring in whatever. But for this game, I would keep him in and say to him, look, you know, they'll be fearful of Tom Lawrence. Make no mistake about that. And that's why I'd say to him that, you know, these don't want to play against you, but make sure you punish them. That's the key. And maybe, you know, again, it feels to me like he's just one good moment away from sparking into form to me.
Christy said then about maybe a lack of confidence. I mean, I think you spoke to him after the Swansea game.
Tom Lawrence.
Yeah, Tom Lawrence. Yes. Yeah. Did he seem to be lacking any confidence when you spoke to him?
Well, this is a strange thing. I mean, we were talking to him after a win and a pretty good performance, and so there wasn't the line of questioning wasn't, of course, wasn't anything particularly negative because they'd won the game, and in fact, I mean, he was asked a lot about Harry Wilson because Harry Wilson was the star of the show on that day, And so it was slightly unfair on Tom that he was having to field these questions about, you know, how brilliant Harry Wilson has been. Obviously, Welsh teammates,
yes, yeah.
And they were playing against a Welsh side. But, you know, he answered all the questions and yes, absolutely, gave Harry credit for a couple of brilliant strikes. Mm. He did score both, didn't he?
Mm.
Yeah, yes, he did.
Both, yeah. But he was making the point because people were saying, is this guy a Premier League player in the making? Obviously, he's at a Premier League club, Harry Wilson, that is. And Tom Lawrence was saying, absolutely, he's a Premier League player, but then made the point, you know, there are a lot of players in this team, himself included,
who
certainly believe they can go and play in the Premier League. So I think he's got that belief. As Steve said, whether his confidence kind of goes up and down, you know, very easily, very quickly from one game to the next, maybe that's something you have to try and manage. Because I say he wasn't at his best at Wigan, but it's only one game later, and that
yes.
And I agree with you, Steve,
yeah.
in that you could quite see him on Monday night coming up with something special, and that's why you put him in the team.
Yeah, I think the feeling of some fans, the reason why they're voicing their frustration against Tom Lawrence and his form is because they believe he's got more than that. If they didn't believe a player had more, they wouldn't be that frustrated.
No.
And it's the same for me. You know, I watch Tom Lawrence, and sometimes when I mark him down in ratings, is because I know there's something in there that's better than what he's shown on that day. If it was a player who I knew couldn't do any more, then that would be fine. But I believe Tom Lawrence has got a lot more in his locker than he's showing at the moment. But as he showed in the second half against Swansea, it is in there.
Yeah. Okay. So I want to take a bit of a trip down your Derby and Forest memory lanes now. So just three questions.
That's a cliche, another cliche there.
But what was
memory lanes?
Yeah. So problem?
No,
I haven't.
Well, it might be.
I haven't prepared for this.
No,
they're quite simple. They're quite okay. Simple.
At my age, it's like, that memory lane's getting longer, mate.
First,
more of a motorway.
It is a motorway. Yeah. It used to be a cul-de-sac, but now it's developed into a motorway.
That was good. I like that one. First of all, let's have your best moments for a Derby Forest game.
It will be so easy to say the 5-0.
So I'll say 5-0.
Yeah, but it would be so easy to say that, and it was a good moment, no doubt about that. Delighted for Bryce as well, with his hat trick and all the historic records and all that went with that. I always go back to the FA Cup game for me, the replay at the City Ground when Derby were 2-0 down. I think I'll be corrected, no doubt, but. I think it was after about 14 minutes they were 2-0. I think he conceded in the first minute, and then he conceded another quick one. So 14 minutes gone, away at City Ground, 2-0 down to Forest. You can imagine what the place is like.
Yeah.
And Derby came back and won 3-2. I think Chris Commons scored the winner against his old club. I mean, that's dramatic.
Yeah.
You know, night match as well, under lights. It had everything, really.
Was that their first win there for quite a while? Because they won twice there.
They then went back, I think, a few weeks later and won 3-1 in the league.
But I think I seem to remember that was the first win for quite a few years.
So that was, that's very dramatic. I mean, the one against 10 men at City Ground, the 2-1. Again, memorable. But I just thought, the FA Cup one to me, it had just about everything, because we were all kind of writing Derby off at 2-0 down, 14 minutes gone. I mean, I'd been there a couple of years earlier when they got battered 5-2 as well, so you're expecting something like that. So to come back, well, it was great, and then to go back again a few weeks later and win again, and both under Nigel Clough at the time. That was very memorable.
I think the winning with 10 men, I mean, that was... Certainly, in terms of being unexpected, as I think that's the point that we were making from the one you chose as well. I mean, I remember covering that game, and you know, big sort of you go away to your bitter rivals, and you know, within the first couple of minutes, you've conceded a penalty and had your goalkeeper sent off. They've scored the penalty, and you just think this is going to be a really long afternoon. And you know, I mean, I'm quite pessimistic, and I was probably thinking damage limitation. Try not to lose 5-0, basically. Don't get embarrassed. And it was just a really sort of surreal occasion, really, because you expected Forest to sort of be all over them, and then just very gradually Derby just sort of got back to their feet, you know, got back on track. And then the equaliser was out of nothing, really. Jamie Ward kind of came in from a ridiculous angle and just kind of slipped it in at the near post. And I mean, from Forest's point of view, it was shocking to concede that, really. But let's we won't worry about that. And then I say it was, you know, then you think, blimey, 1-1, can they kind of hang on and get a point? And then the winner, you couldn't have written it, really. It was Jeff Hendrick's first goal for Derby, wasn't it? Was he 19 or something like that? It was a great finish.
In front of
the away fans, who just went absolutely berserk. And I think Jeff missed a sitter moments earlier.
I tend to remind him about that.
That showed great character, because he really should have scored. And then a much harder chance comes to him, puts and he's just stroked it in. Yeah. And I mean, that was, and that's the reason that Derby fans still kind of sing about that now, don't they? And then, of course, you mentioned the five nil was memorable as well for different reasons. I mean, they just absolutely took them apart.
The reason I don't go for the 5-0 is, I mean, Derby were in poor form at the time, by the way, going into that game. But Forest on the day was so bad. You know, Derby played well, but Forest, I remember writing, I think, about Forest midfield. It looked like they were running in treacle. Seriously. I mean, Hendrick and Bryson just ran the legs off him. George Thorne, that's the game he came into. That was actually his debut.
It's his debut. Yeah.
Eustace was suspended.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, John Eustace has been playing really well. Yeah. And George came in and orchestrated the whole thing. But Bryce and Hendrick just ran the legs off Forest midfield. I mean, they just couldn't cope with them at all, and Forest just folded away. It was they were really poor on the day.
Okay, so from best now, I want your worst moment.
For personal reasons, because I know him so well, it's the Sean Barker incident when he got seriously injured. That was it was a strange night. Really, really sad. Again, because I know Sean, I did a weekly column with him for a few years. To see him go down, just a freak accident as well. And there's quite clearly a lot of concern. And then, you know, and it was great because Derby won it in stoppage time, I think. Jake Buxton, who's a great lad as well. I know Jake well, and I was delighted for him. But the whole win, even as dramatic as it was in stoppage time, kind of lost its edge, really. And I think the first thing Nigel Clough, one of the first things he said afterwards was, you know, he would swap the 3 points and the win to have Sean Barker fit. And I think at the time he sensed quite clearly how serious the injury was. And of course, as we know, it kept Sean out for such a long time. So I think that one, that was a difficult night. Yeah, I think.
I was going to say exactly the same, because I think when something like that happens, it's kind of
overshadowed.
You know, you've seen something. Yeah, I think you mentioned that, you know, the losing 5-2 at the City Ground. From a footballing point of view, that was a bad night. But when you get a really bad injury like that, that kind of overshadows everything else.
I still remember the picture of Tuddy, you know.
Well, I was going to say,
I knelt down with Sean, kind of waving over to the...
And he obviously knew.
He obviously knew how serious that was. And it's never nice when you see that. As you say, we've seen defeats, and defeats can happen. I remember going to the City Ground under John Gregory and getting absolutely walloped 3-0. It could have been about 6 or 7. Forest were far better that day. And the 5-2, as Chris mentioned. But I think, when you look back at the whole game as such, that such an injury, you know, it's such a bad injury as well. as we learned later.
And I think we knew at the time that it was bad, yeah, but probably didn't know how bad it was at the time.
No.
Okay, what was your first moment, first memory of Derby v Forest?
Ooh, that's a tester, mate.
I thought for you it would be going back a while, but...
I know which one mine was, actually. Okay. So shall I go first?
Yeah, you can go first.
Because it was that John Gregory game that you mentioned. That was my first game covering a game. I should point out at this point that I am not from Derby originally or Nottingham, so I came in as sort of as an outsider, so I hadn't gone to see the game as a fan. So my first experience was covering it for the Derby Telegraph, for the Burton Mail, actually. At the time, Forest just had a better side than Derby, as much as people won't like to hear it. And I think it was it three was it 3-0
3-0, yeah.
And it was men against boys, yeah, really. And I remember, I think the Derby fans kind of stayed in the ground afterwards, and they were not particularly happy with things in general, were they?
Yeah.
That was probably my first one, I think.
Yeah.
You're still winding the clock back.
Yeah, yeah. It's yours. Come to you.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, it's so difficult. I mean, what's a bit strange is, of course, that when I first came to the Telegraph all those years ago, back in 1985, it was, I mean, they weren't meeting each other too often then, because Forest were in a top division. So I remember games as such, but at that time I was number two on Rams to Gerald Mortimer at the time, so he was more involved in it than I was. But I do remember games. But you know, Forest, as I say, had a good side then. Mm. You know, they were difficult to beat. But certainly of the time since I've been chief football writer, then that 3-0 one, as Chris says, that stands out, because that, in fact, was John Gregory's last game in charge of Derby, because he was suspended, I think, for the following game, and then lost his job. So that was a very strange night all round. The 5-2 one was a difficult night, just after Christmas as well. That was so that was a difficult night. Seeing Robert Earnshaw pop up and score a winner against Derby here, when he played for Derby and not done an awful lot for Derby, despite the fact of being a big signing for us, was strange as well. But yeah, I think, and this is the beauty of it, you never quite, we were talking about all sorts of different incidents and things like that, never mind the controversies.
We haven't even mentioned the coffee cup.
Things like that out of nothing. Yeah. This is what happens in these types of games, and we've recently seen a big Derby game on Merseyside decided in the 96th minute by one of the...
To sort of bring something up somehow,
yeah,
didn't
but,
you?
But that's what happens, isn't it? You know, it's just a bizarre incident. Mm.
You do get these stories, controversies.
But they're heightened, aren't they, because of the occasion.
Sure.
Massively, and you know, we've had all them, haven't we? Tyson flag waving, Savage scarf twirling, set twos on...
Managers fighting.
Managers, yes. On the touchline. So, who knows what Monday will bring? Who knows what Monday will bring?
Absolutely. Now, Steve, earlier this week, you asked a question on the sports desk about the last meeting at Pride Park between...
I thought you were going to talk about our favourite chocolate.
Derby County. What is your favourite chocolate then?
No more product placement.
I don't get any sent to me. I keep mentioning them. I don't get any freebies sent. So anyway, I'm not mentioning them.
Right, okay. So you asked a question on the sports desk earlier this week about the last meeting between Derby and Forest at Pride Park. And you were saying about there were probably three or four players likely to start. So I'm going to ask you the same question, but... from the last meeting between the two, so at the City Ground.
Right.
0-0 in March. Remember that?
No, can't remember it still.
One of the less memorable ones. The keeper made a ridiculous save, didn't he, from Tom Lawrence?
Pantilimon, yeah, with his legs. Because there's that picture from behind
so
the goal.
So it was a thriller.
His legs stretched down.
Derby should have won.
Tom Huddleston got sent off.
Right.
So there were four players in that starting 11 who you would say are likely to start. Stop trying to look at my pad as well. Four players in that 11 who were, you would say, are likely to start on Monday. Who are those four players?
Well, Tom would be one.
Yeah.
Carlson.
Yeah.
Keir?
Yeah.
Lawrence or Lawrence. Is he a sub?
Oh, I don't know if he's a sub. Lawrence?
Correct. I thought when you said Tom, I thought that's the Tom. No. I thought you meant Tom Lawrence.
Well, it covers both.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So that's the four.
Well, that wasn't very difficult, was it? How long did it take to think of that question?
Fairly straightforward. Right, who were the other seven?
He's good at this, isn't he? I don't know why.
Wisdom.
He's good. Yeah.
Wisdom. Forsyth.
Davis. Yeah.
Davis. Johnson.
Yeah.
Newton?
Yeah.
How many is that?
You got two more to get.
Johnny Russell?
No.
Mm-hmm.
He'd headed off to America by that point.
Had he?
Had he?
What time? What day?
This was March.
Oh, right, by the way, yeah. So it wasn't that long ago.
What are we looking for? A midfielder?
Do we need another winger?
So far,
we need another winger, don't
so
we?
So far from the side, you've got Carson, Forsyth, Davis, Keogh.
People screaming at this podcast.
I know, they will be going,
saying,
I know who
it is. I can't believe that you
haven't
mentioned...
Is that what they do with podcasts? Do they scream at them, like, is it tellies?
I'd imagine
Chris listens
to
quite a lot of podcasts, don't you?
Yeah.
I listen to a few. Don't listen to this one. Rubbish.
So far, you've got Carson, Forsyth, Davis, Keogh, Wisdom, Johnson, Huddleston, Lawrence and Nugent.
So we've got a couple of forward players that we need, don't we? Vidra?
No. Ooh. Remember, because he was... left out of quite a few of the back end
right,
of the season
okay.
under Rowett. So
my phone's going here. I thought it was the answer. But it's,
it's not live, unfortunately,
no.
Steve.
I don't know, Johnny. Go on, put me out of my misery.
Sure.
Yeah.
Go on, because this isn't great listening, is it?
Vyman.
Andy Vyman. Yeah.
And the one who I didn't think you'd get, Ekechi Anya.
Anya played
because he started. Because he came in and had that little run in the side, didn't he?
Well, that's how he finished last season in the side.
Yeah, I've just remembered about that game. I think Bogle was on the bench, wasn't he?
That was the
first time
that he was
on
the
bench.
Senior
yeah.
side.
Yeah.
Okay, so to the present day then, who do you think are going to be the key players on Monday? Where's the battle going to be won and lost?
We have mentioned a few. Yeah, these games are always fast and furious, as we know. So what there seems to be a lot of running around in the middle of the pitch type of thing until the game settles down. So, you know, I'd like to see Tom Huddleston get on the ball if possible. I think that helps Derby massively. Mason Mount could give Forrest problems from his position. I can see that, and I think he's. Just seems to be easing his way back. Mm. I mean, that ankle injury does seem to have set him back a little bit. So I can see his cleverness in popping up in these kind of pockets of space, giving Forrest problems. I think Marriott, his appetite and his movement in being a menace to the two centre backs, I think will be important also. But again, it's like I say, you know, I think as long as Derby must keep a defensive discipline when not in possession, because the last thing you want is play breaking down and Forrest being able to spring and punish it without the ball.
I'm going to slightly agree with what Steve was saying, and I'm going with Mason Mount because I think there's been a lot of talk about, you know, has he become a marked man? Have people kind of figured him out a little bit because after he sort of burst on the scene? But as Steve pointed out, you know, his injury kind of set him back a little bit, and I think he has been playing okay, absolutely.
Yeah.
He just hasn't been. You know, winning matches single-handedly and things like that. So I'm wondering whether maybe people might just have stopped talking about him quite so much,
sure.
and looking at people like Harry Wilson
yeah.
looking at people like Jack Marriott, and maybe this is a game where Mason kind of really comes to the fore.
He's
and
due a goal
what
as well.
Can do. I think he is. Yeah,
he's due a goal. Yeah, because he set off really well this season.
Yeah,
I think that was a bit of a surprise element about him.
Yeah,
you know, but listen, at this level. All levels of football, new players come onto the scene and they can catch people by surprise. And you know, Mason Mount was relatively unknown in the Championship. He had, you know,
well, he hadn't played, he hadn't played at all.
He'd been to, no. He'd been to Holland, and clubs will have been aware of him as a young player developing at Chelsea, but players on the pitch wouldn't have been aware of him, and I think that helped him. His next challenge now is to break away from that attention. You know, because if you were setting your team up to play against Derby tomorrow, you would mention Mason Mount, you would mention Jack Marriott and Harry Wilson. That's what happens. So they do their homework, and so now it's down to Mason just to show that he can actually kick on again from this closer attention that he's probably receiving, and he's more than capable of doing that because he still has this cleverness and awareness to pick out these spaces, which are quite, you know, really cute. And if you can get him on the ball in those spaces, he can cause some damage. Mm. As I say, it'll be the same for Forest. They'll be thinking the same. They'll be thinking, let's keep it tight, you know, and make sure that we don't leave ourselves vulnerable, because that's still a slight issue with Derby. I still feel they're a bit vulnerable out of possession, and even though second half at Wigan everyone dug in to get the clean sheet, you know, the likes of Tom Lawrence and Harry Wilson, not Jack Marriott because he works his socks off, I think, without the ball, but Tom Lawrence, Harry Wilson, they've got to be aware that the responsibility for a clean sheet starts from them. Mm. You know, Jack Marriott and them too. Jack, I think, does his bit because he's constantly trying to chase down, but it's important that those two also are aware that they've got a job to do in order to help Derby keep a clean sheet, and that's what happened. At Wigan, that happened, and they've got to say that they've just got to be careful with this game, not to get carried away too much, pushing for it and get caught.
Okay, finally then, let's have a prediction from you both, please.
I've already said somewhere, I think, 2-1 Derby. I was torn between 2-0 and 2-1, to be honest. A lot of people I've seen are going round 2-2s, 3-2s, that type of thing. I hope we're right, and I hope it's not a 0-0. That's what I hope, because that can often happen when we're all thinking, you know, there's going to be goals, and we've got Lewis Grabber, and we've got Marriott, and we've got these Wilson and these. But I've gone with 2-1, so I'll stick with it. I mean, 2-1's a bit of a get out, really, in Championship terms, because there's a lot of tight games.
Does that mean I can't go for 2-1?
No, it means you can agree with me.
If you think 2-1, then say 2-1.
Well, what I was going to say is we haven't seen too many 0-0s. I don't think there's that many 0-0s in the Championship in general. Derby haven't drawn many games, though Forest have drawn a few. So it would suggest that there will be goals. Maybe I will say 1-1, just because I think I'd like to see Derby win, absolutely.
Yes,
but I think Forest, as we've talked about, I think they're in decent nick. They seem to be good away from home, and they say they have drawn quite a few games, so I think maybe they'll come here thinking, if we can take a point, then
defensively they're tight as well.
So I'll go 1-1.
You know, so they don't give many goals away. Again, that's Karanka again. Mm. If you remember, he's Middlesbrough side.
Mm. Yeah, they're very aggressive.
But with this team, whereas Middlesbrough were resolute and could nick the game with a goal, it seems that his team are resolute but seem to have more goals. Yeah. Which, you know, it's. They're usually cagey, aren't they? They're usually quite tight.
Except for when you score after 24 seconds.
Well, that would be kind of quite a start, wouldn't it? to be fair. I think what's interesting about this game, though, is for both sides, I know it's this thing about bragging rights and positioning the table, but I think it will really give one of them a lift if they can win this game. Mm. Because, you know, you look at Derby's fixtures coming up, you know, after Bristol City at home, they've got some really tough games, you know, and to go in with a win against Forest, to go into games like Sheffield United, Middlesbrough, Norwich and Leeds, which is the four games after Bristol City, that's a tough run. Mm. And you know, you want to be going into that type of run on a high if you can. But Forest will be thinking exactly the same.
Okay, lovely stuff. Anything else you chaps wanted to add before we sign off? This is normally where you make some sort of smart joke or funny
comment.
Good
to see you back, though.
Have we not banged on for long enough yet? Yeah.
Probably. Nope, nothing else?
No, I'm good.
Steve, Chris, absolute pleasure. Let's not leave it so long next time. It's been good fun. And yeah, hopefully Derby can get 3 points on Monday night. Thanks to all the listeners. In the meantime, you can obviously follow everything that we do on social media, on Twitter at DCFC_live. We're on Facebook, which is facebook.com/Derby County Live. And you can keep up to date with all the latest Rams news and views on our website, www.derbyshirelive.co.uk. The app is on both Apple and Android, and our podcast is on Acast and iTunes. Just search for It's Black and White. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again.